Greetings, I'm James Gillen. I'm your host tonight, and we've got a pretty interesting show tonight. I was going to open up the lines for Collins, and we've got a lot of information to bring out, too, as well. As we speak, we're uploading the pictures from the Star Knowledge Conference when we went out to do a little vision quest, you might say, or ceremony near Giant Rock. And those are being loaded up on the East Eddy Ranch page, and that's over probably, it's East Eddy Ranch on Facebook. I'm already getting some information coming in here. But if you have a Facebook account, just type in, ECETI Ranch, and they should be up. Jana here is throwing those up on the site. We were going to put them up on BBS, but the BBS site is undergoing a total remodeling, so it might be a little while before we get those up on the BBS site. So anyway, if you want to go to Facebook to East Eddy Ranch and check it out, those pictures are going to be loading up, probably as we speak. There's some very interesting things going on. There's a lot of information about Evergreen, which is the CIA, basically covert airport where they've been flying the chemtrails out of, and they're saying Evergreen is now shut down. The chemtrails are over, but to everybody I'm talked to around the world are just getting slammed with chemtrails. So there's one or two things going on. Either Evergreen was a drop in the bucket and they're using all the bases and other things to fly these chemtrail planes, or that's just a rumor. I know the guy that reported it actually reports for all the world banksters, and he's very much in cahoots with those guys, So anyway, I wouldn't put a lot of stock into that. The other thing they're talking about, the HAARP, also was shut down. Supposedly, they didn't have it, but now I guess it's being sold to private interests. And guess who? Same guys that were creating the problems before. Actually, now the military is not part of it. They're private now, so they can still play with HAARP and do all the fun little things they're doing, like make massive F4 tornadoes, a whole slew of them, or increase hurricanes and typhoons to, to devastating proportions. There's seven volcanoes going off as we speak. It's pretty amazing. All at once, these things popped. Something is really perturbing the planet. The magnetic fields are at an all-time low right now, and we're being bombarded with cosmic rays and other rays coming in from distant galaxies. So, we're going through a shift. Cosmic rays do create DNA changes, and whenever that happens, we go through a huge evolutionary shift. So basically, the science is there, to back that up. Now it looks like a big winged disc. It's the blue comet, that's coming in like a big winged disc. And a lot of people are saying it's a big reptilian ship. There's all these different things coming in about Comet Ison. I'm just not feeling it. I don't feel anything negative. There's a lot of negativity out there about what's happening out in the universe, and people add their imagination. They get information and they add their fear or their imagination to information. So in all channeled material, it's very important to just, run it through your own inner sensitivity and just see what percentage of accuracy that information is, when it comes through. I don't know. I'm just not feeling Ison as I think it actually is the blue Kachina, because it is blue. It's massive, and it's going to wing around the sun and put on quite a show right after Thanksgiving. So that would correspond with the information we've been getting from the Pleiades, that we're going to have quite an event, just after Thanksgiving, and another one right after Christmas. So when that does wrap around the sun and with that tail and it starts coming by Earth, it is going to create like a conduit, for solar flares and other energies to be coming in. So I'd be keeping an eye on that, for some capacitor effects, you might say, or jumping effects of some of the other energies. The prophecy goes, the blue Kachina, I believe, is first, and then the red Kachina is the big equalizer. It's the purifier that comes through, and that could be Planet X. So we might have the red Kachina coming in behind this. I know James McCanney was talking about his research. He didn't really believe in any of this, and now he's saying there's a mini solar system coming our way. And found out, you know, through some of the telescopes in Australia and other places that there is some major events coming, you know, and it could just buzz right past us and nothing's happened. It's done it before. Or it could, you know, shake things up a bit. So it's good idea to just go within and pay attention on that. You know, we don't know how much intervention we're going to get. We have it. It's there. It's up to us to call on it and initiate it. So if enough of us start getting, you know, into our prayer and meditation work and start initiating and seeing the world getting through this and a whole new world shifting, creating that reality, we can probably jump this timeline and do something else. So it just depends on the collective consciousness and the individual consciousness and how much you want to put your time and energy in that, or how much you want to hang on to the old world. But I can tell you this, if you're hanging on to the old world and the old matrix, the old grid, it's going down. You know, it's not going to be here much longer. So it's time to start focusing on a new world, you know, and learn to simplify and be kind and loving to each other and be kind and loving to the planet. You know, live a spiritually wholesome life, you know, in harmony with each other and nature. That's where we need to go to get through this shift. There's also a lot of information about these wars in space. There are still some skirmishes. Most of it's been cleaned up. My understanding is that now their focus is on Earth and cleaning up the regenerate energies here on the Earth. And even it's going to be really hard for those who have been, you know, have sold their souls to these regenerate energies and the Archon network. That whole network is going down, and the people that are aligned with it, you know, even their physical bodies are going to have a really hard time coping with these new energies coming in, because they're not frequency specific to what's happening on the Earth and the Earth's evolutionary process. So it's not going to be easy for them to get through this shift. And, you know, we're seeing that right now. We're seeing the banksters, the Illuminati, and, you know, we're seeing the Monsatan, you know, all their programs coming up and really hard and heavy. They're just scratching and clawing and trying to hang in there. But people are waking up around the world, and overall, the world view of GMO crops and Monsatan and what they're doing is pretty bleak. And it's just a matter of time. A lot of the other countries have banned them, and it's time for the U.S. to do the same. You know, it's basically a planned genocide. You know, the stuff that's in those crops have a cumulative effect, and they're creating serious problems. They're creating like leaky gut, kidney failure. They're actually sterilizing people. If you looked at the tests they did on rats, you know, for if you let them eat that GMO corn long enough, you know, their balls actually turn blue and pretty much fell off. They end up getting testicle cancer, you know. So anyway, and as well as tumors all throughout their body. So, and then that makes it kind of personal to me, you know. I really don't want to go through that. You know, we're not rats and we shouldn't be treated as rats. But unfortunately, there are certain groups out there that see us as nothing better than a pest, you know, that needs to be eradicated, which goes back to the ancient Anunnaki, which there are some groups in the Anunnaki that want to preserve Earth and keep it everything going. And there's other groups that have been here, the fallen ones, that would like to see a lot of us eliminated. And that passes down the network, the Archon network. And, you know, there's people actually doing their bidding, you know, willingly participants in genocide and all these other actions that they're doing. So basically, if you look at what's going on with all the wars, you know, you look at the water, the 600 to 800 carcinogens in city water. You look at the fluoride in the water, the aspartame, the chemtrails, and the GMOs, and everything that's happening right now. It's pretty obvious that there is a group out there, and they're psychopaths, and they would like to see most of us go away. And if you're not paying attention, you know, you will be subject to that. There are ways of transcending this, and which we'll go into in another show. I'm going to bring a wonderful speaker on. I'm working on that right now, that has both the healing technologies and other technologies to change, and especially the radiation from Fukushima. There are ways of dealing with that radiation. The only thing the government is doing is covering it up. They're not doing anything to take care of that. And there are solutions out there. There's many different solutions to deal with this radiation problem that we're dealing with now. But the main actions right now of the powers that were, you know, are to just cover it up and just act like it's not there, because they really want to see it do its job, you know, just like the depleted uranium they spread all over the planet. But we're going to be talking about that later on. I've got another couple of good shows coming up. We've got Margaret Willey, and she's a councilwoman over there in Hawaii, and they passed some pretty good GMO legislation. It's a start, and to stop the GMOs and stop them. You know, some of the GMOs that are already there that are grandfathered in, they're going to say, okay, you need to be monitored. You need to be. They're going to have somebody go out there and check them out and monitor, make sure this stuff doesn't spread. The papaya, there's nothing they can do about, because that's already all over the island. It's just too big. But they're putting a stop on it. No more GMO crops. You know, no more experimentation there. They're going to try to put a stop on this until more research is coming in. And when the research does come in, they'll probably eliminate it altogether, because it's extremely detrimental to your health, these crops coming in. You know, there's different types of GMO crops. I mean, some science isn't so bad. I mean, they have actually helped, you know, out, you know, creating, you know, more resistant to pests and things like that, you know, some and bigger crops and things like that. But when they start adding, you know, Roundup to them and these other genes and Terminator genes and nicotine genes and all these other things, those are going into your intestines, you know, and you can get a strawberry now with salmon genes in it, you know, and if you're allergic to salmon, you know, or fish and you eat a strawberry, you could drop dead, you know. So, I mean, there's just a lot of crazy things going out there that I don't think have been tested. I know India has done a lot of testing on the GMO products, and they found out it was sterilizing the cattle, and that they're feeding it to the cattle were getting ulcers and the crops were failing, and they had to put more poison and more Roundup and other things on the crops. And it's just gotten out of hand. And a lot of the farmers over there were committing suicide because everything was failing, and they felt they just totally failed, you know, their family, their village and everything else. So that's been happening in record numbers. Before I go any further, I wanted to give out these numbers. If you want to call in, feel free to call in and talk about, you know, what you feel is going on, what you think is happening. If you have solutions, you know, bring those to the table. This show is for you. I love doing the call-in shows because it's not about me. It's about being of service to the public. And so if you have some information that you think is of service, or if you have some questions, you know, for your own self, feel free to call in. A lot of shifts going on. We'll talk further about that. But the numbers, I'll give you those numbers really quick. It's 888-627-6008. That's the toll-free number for U.S. and Canada. And again, that number is 688-627-6008. And we've got 530-327-7602. That's line one. 530-413-4522, line two. And 530-413-5011 is line three. And we have 530-413-5011, line four. So looks like line three and line four are pretty much the same. So I guess you can call that number and get on either line. But anyway, the whole site is being revamped here at BBS. I'm sure it's going to turn out great, but there's just a little interim problem where we can't get some of these pictures up. I wanted to talk about one other thing. We're going to have Santos Bonacci here on the show too real soon. So that's another guest we just lined up, and we're going to have Mary Rodwell coming up, and a few others that we're actually in the process of setting up right now. I'm getting ready to head out. I'll be in another country here for a couple months, and so I'll be doing some broadcasts live on the journey with different shamans and teachers and masters, you know, as we progress. So it should be interesting. So stay tuned to As You Wish Talk Radio, because we're going to have some great things coming up. I want to talk about the Star Knowledge Conference. And if there's anybody there listening to the show that was at the Star Knowledge Conference or the Sedona Conference and you want to call in and talk about some of your experiences, especially in the workshops, which were incredible. I mean, the energies that came in the workshops were phenomenal. We had the Andromedans come in, the Pleiadians, the Sirian, the feline beings came in. Just about every group came in to say hi. And the benevolent Anunnaki that are here now to take care of the not-so-benevolent Anunnaki, there's a big house cleaning going on, also came in and made their presence known for people that wanted to experience that energy. Very powerful energy, you know, very solid energy and very loving energy. It's not what people think. And despite what people say, the Anunnaki are not reptilian. They are the bearded gods, where we got our image from, the bearded gods. They're the big, tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, or red-haired, green-eyed, bearded gods, you know, that we got our image. And goddesses. I don't know why they don't talk about the goddesses, because there's quite a few of those as well. But they do have a council of 12, and it has 6 men, 6 women on it. It's a balanced council, and they work in harmony, and they're here now to assist us in cleaning up some of the past and release the past. You know, they're here to right or wrong. Hopefully we have time, I can pull that song up and play it again, because that song that came through that was actually a channeled song that the Outback Gypsies performed, really kicks on soul memories. And if you sit and listen to it for a while, it really opens doors and people get downloads and shifts and changes. I know people that received spontaneous healings and openings and got entities off of them, everything, just by listening to this song, because it opens up, you know, a gate. It's like a portal opener, you might say. But we'll play that song. Hopefully at the end of the show, we'll have time and I'll pop that song on towards the end of the show. The other thing I want to talk about too is that juicing. I'm getting all these reports, people that are actually juicing marijuana. And, you know, with 10 days to live, you know, doctors give people, oh, you're going to be dead in 10 days, or you're going to be this and that. And they started juicing marijuana and drinking it. And that was an extreme case. And this guy's still around. He's cancer-free right now. So there's so many reports coming up. And when you juice the marijuana, it's not psychotropic. You know, it's the heat that turns it in, makes it psychotropic. So, you know, you can actually... You know, just Google it if you want, you know, juicing marijuana or whatever. And, you know, a lot of people are going on to, you know, all live food diets and things like that and curing themselves. It's pretty amazing. There's also, too, we've got, you want to really check out this water, Langenberg water. It's Langenberg water. I know so many people that were just barely hanging on and not doing too well, and they got a hold of this water. It's super oxygenated water. It's crystallized oxygen. So the oxygen is actually crystallized in the water itself. And so it's not like other oxygen water. When you pop the lid, you hear a pfft and it's gone, you know, because water's H2O. Well, this is crystallized oxygen that's suspended in a microhydrant. So it's amazing. It's oxygen's the highest systemic antibiotic you can get. It also goes after a lot of other chemicals that are disadvantageous to the body, and it breaks them, you know, breaks their bond and breaks them back into a crystalline form. So it's a real godsend right now with all the things that we're being assailed with. So, you know, just type in, Google it, Langenberg water or Langenberg research, either one, and .com, and it'll pop up and you can check that out. But, you know, I swear by it. If I don't have it, I think I'd be in a box right now, probably 6 feet under or cremated. I don't know which way. I'm not planning that one. But anyway, I would definitely be doing not so well right now if I was alive at all, because I seem to have people seen and unseen coming to the rescue right at the right time. I had some research done and testing on my body, and I found out that I had every form of radiation, mustard gas, nerve gas, yeah, like, you know, every kind of ELF attack, you name it, you know, I've been hit with it, and I'm still here. So luckily there are people looking out after me. We've had black helicopters fly over and pulse us with exotic weapons and you know, those things we pay for with our taxes, you know, these wonderful oath-keeping people up there that are dumping, you know, aluminum oxide, barium, strontium, and every other chemical you can think of, you know, even radioactive material on us to help us live a a loving, prosperous life, you know. So maybe these guys ought to like do a little soul searching, think about their oath, you know, to protect the Constitution and the people, and they're here in service, and they're not here to serve the corporations or be corporate thugs or participate in actions which are definitely detrimental to humanity and the earth. I mean, that's totally against their oath. And there's no honor in that. I have no respect for these people whatsoever. There's nothing heroic about flying a plane, you know, at 10,000 feet and dumping things on innocent children that are heavy metals and accumulative and toxic and, you know, killing the elderly and children. I'm sorry, there's no honor in that. I have no respect for you. And you need to do some soul searching, you know. Your little outfit, you know, and your plane means nothing to me. You know, it's your soul that means something. So before you lose too much of it, you might want to recalibrate that and check out what you're doing. That's my feeling on it. It's just beyond ridiculous. I think, you know, the people that are performing these heinous acts and that have joined the corporate thug program and that have really come down on the people, be it the military or the police or whatever, it's time to you know, think about your oath and start acting in honor and stand up for what's right and just, because there's going to be a karmic backlash, a big one, and it's time for everybody to come together and work together and turn this planet around. You know, it's not, you can't serve the 1% anymore, because that 1% is not going to be functioning much longer. And then, you know, you're next. So think about it. You know, there's no loyalty to anybody that is, you know, performing, you know, these acts. Basically, they'll throw you to the wolves in a moment, you know, especially if it means, you know, their feet are in the fire. You know, they're going to toss whoever they can, you know, ahead of them. But there's so many options out there right now. I think between the learning how to, I know they've really relaxed a lot of the laws right now. You can grow your own medicinal marijuana. I really suggest juicing it. I'm not into any kind of drugs. I don't use any drugs. But if you are sick and ill and you're really having problems, that's a good route to go. There's other routes as well. If you go to eSETI.org, there's the Mariposa Spa, and there's doctors down there that use all kinds of different modalities that aren't allowed in the U.S., and they are curing cancer, and they are doing some amazing things. So it's sad, you know, you got to go out of the country to get healed now, because, you know, it's just a big drug-pushing operation here now, and very few people are being healed. You know, everybody's just being put on hold or taking care of symptomatic relief, unfortunately. You know, I think there's a need for the medical establishment. You know, if I break my leg, I'm going to want to get it set and straightened up, and I might want something to take the pain away in the meantime. But, you know, there are needs, but we really need to focus not on the business of making money and pushing drugs, but on the business of healing. And what if something works better and it's inexpensive and it's a plant-based or whatever, use that. You know, why not? You know, there's energetic forms of healing. They're doing incredible things with scalar waves and sound and a lot of things. They're creating incredible regeneration programs going on, but you're just not hearing about it because the masses are just not, it's not available to the masses, unfortunately. So anyway, these technologies are coming out. Hopefully in time, you know, we'll get the financing we need to bring these technologies out. I know where they are. I know who have them. And it's just a matter of putting things together to get them together and be able to create a place, you know, that where you can use this without being, you know, hammered on by the FDA SWAT team or whatever. You know, just there's ways of doing that where you create a ministry and just set everything up as donation, and you're not charging for anything. You're not making any claims either. And there are ways where you can continue to function. But anyway, the I'm going to give the call-in numbers if anyone wants to call in. I wanted to talk about the Star Knowledge Conference and our little expedition out there to Giant Rock and some of the things that happened there, because, you know, that was amazing. You know, we all got completely recalibrated on that one. It was quite interesting. Actually, I think we've got Ashley on line one. Let's see if we can bring Ashley on, because she was there at the event. Ashley, are you with us? Hello, Ashley. I think she might have disappeared. Maybe she can come back on again. This just popped up. But anyway, if you're out there, Ashley, give us a call again.
Aloha,
James. Get you on the show. But I'd love to have somebody that was there to actually help talk about this experience. Because if one person just says, yeah, I had this experience, everybody goes, okay, yeah, right. What were you smoking? Hey, aloha. How you doing?
Aloha, James. Can you hear me there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm talking.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, James, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, aloha. Sorry, I couldn't hear you before.
Yeah, it sounds like a little feedback going on or something, but...
I took off the headset. Anyways, I wasn't able to hear since I've been on hold, so...
Oh, okay.
Where the conversation is.
Yeah. I don't know. The, you know, basically I'd love to get, help have maybe you tell a story about your experience on top of that Crystal Mountain at Giant Rock. And we put the pictures up on the eSETI Ranch page on Facebook, because BBS is going through a major remodeling, I guess, of the whole thing. So we couldn't get them up there. But I posted the pictures up there, and it shows the different phases that we went through. And some of the things at the end that were left behind, which was kind of interesting. But, you know, I'd love to get your take on or your experience from that ceremony we did out there near Giant Rock.
Absolutely. Well, I, I'm not sure what you've been sharing with the community, but I think you and I and Daniel and Sherry and Joseph and Nathan and Carrie and Seven and everyone else, you know, we had an interesting weekend because there was a lot of light to be anchored, right? There was a lot going on, a lot of meddlesome moths coming to the light, if you will, that we had to keep clearing. So I think for all of us going out to Split Rock and to the Crystal Mountain it was an important ceremony, but also I think for us just to recalibrate after all the love that we spread that weekend, if you will. And you know, I think as we drove up, we all felt the energies building in our own ways, and climbing up that Crystal Mountain was just amazing. You know, the pathway up wasn't that wide, and there was what 8 or 10 of us going up. So, and that's important as you talk about the gift that was left when we came back down. It was fascinating energy, you know, with the bombing that was going off in the distance at 29 Palms. So that was an interesting scenario. But when we did the circle and we did the Lemurian, the prayer, I think we all felt in our own ways the different vibrations and frequencies, the different communications that came through, the toning. And just, you know me, I feel it in my body. I start buzzing. So, and then after the ceremony, I don't know, at least for me personally, I felt how powerful it was. I felt a little bit, I want to say out of phase, but I'd rather say into a new phase. Maybe that's a better way to put it. And it wasn't until Carrie started sharing the photograph that, I guess for me, it became so concrete, because you saw the different vibrations of transparency, the light stream in your heart. You know, that was amazing to be able to have that captured and in a way validated. Uh-huh. And then looking off into that distance where that white light kept flashing, that was really fascinating. And then it was that all that sparkly energy, for lack of a better word. And sometimes words are hard to describe what you feel, what I was feeling, what we were seeing. But it was as if we were phasing into another frequency because of the light. What I call the pixelation, as we see that energy sparkling, but the really looking through the veils, if you will, to the other dimensions is how I would describe it. So it was a very powerful experience for all of us. There wasn't a lot of talking going on, really. It was more the experiencing and feeling the multi-dimensional craft, although we did see a few actual physical craft as well. I felt like I was about 2 feet off the ground most of the time when we were up there.
I noticed when we got back, it was like a really short drive there. And then on the way back, it took forever to get, like, time changed for us or something. Yeah. And I think we were all vibrating faster, so time slowed down or something. I don't know how that works, but it just seemed like it took forever to get back home.
I think because, when we did the tipping afterwards and we got some more information, it was like we had experienced another, the multidimension, the Andromedan connection, that higher recalibration. And so coming back into that more 3D, even though I felt we all were like 2 degrees into the higher frequency for again, as a way to try to describe it, I think that's why it also made time seem so slow, because we'd had that experience, right, in that higher dimensional plane.
Yeah.
And then, of course, coming back down the mountain, I think you were in the lead and were the first one to notice our beautiful little gift of that rock totem pile.
Yeah.
That was so perfectly balanced. And in the photos that I took, it actually looks like a being. There are eyes and a nose, and it's quite fascinating. Also, all the photos that I took up on the Crystal Mountain and then of that rock gift, that rock totem, the cairn, they all have that same kind of image that the transparent photo did after the circle that we did, after the ceremony. So they all have this kind of multidimensional aspect to them, which was quite fascinating. The one of Joseph sitting on the rock, it almost looks like he's part of the rock. So it was a very powerful experience. And, of course, you can share some of what we came up with afterwards when we asked the questions when we were tipping afterwards.
Yeah, I was kind of in an altered state. I'm trying to remember what we did ask. But I got some pictures I posted where all these streamers, these little light streamers are cruising around. And one looks like a giant rainbow snake type thing or elongated orb, like going towards Joseph there. And then the next picture I got was wall-to-wall purple orbs where you couldn't even see it. Everything disappeared. And we're in these thick orbs. Then there's purple flames coming up on the next one. And then the next one I took, that Carrie took, was when we're all transparent and had these weird glowing lights next to us and things like that.
Well, and there's one of that energy line or stream going into the back of my heart chakra, which I found quite fascinating too.
Did you take that one, or who took?
Someone else took it. I think it might have been on your camera because you sent it to me. So.
Okay.
That's when I was sitting down on the rock. There's a light in front of my heart and the stream coming.
It's really weird. I saved these pictures in three places, and a couple of places where I saved them, they're not there. I'm going, oh my God, what is going on here?
I'll send them back to you.
Okay.
I'll email them back to you. But when we tipped, we were actually, because we had been talking before we went about the potential drill, quote unquote, with the power grid, and we had all kind of said our own prayer for that not to happen, if you remember, because of course it was 11/11. And that whole 3 days following was the potentiality of the powers that were taking things down as a test. And so when we came back after we had that experience up on the mountain, one of the things that we came up with was that it was an Andromeda connection. We were taken to a craft for a short amount of time, but then we were in the multidimensional aspect, more so than on the craft. I think what they said the total time was about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Joseph is sitting here too, so he can correct me if I'm wrong. And that there was a recalibration, and then part of what we did was actually help to alter that timeline that we had kind of set the intention from before. So that was part of it. And then we did ask the light out in the distance and that, what I call that pixelation or that light. Again, I call it pixelation because that's what it looks like. That was actually the little people. And that was from the inner earth.
Yeah, that was the inner earth people that were there.
Right, and that the gift was actually kind of their thank you for what we, as a group, had sent our intent to do and then were able to do. So that's how I remembered. I'm checking over with Joseph to see if he remembers anything else from the tipping. But
crystals, when we started walking, right, you know, it was just right on the trail when we started walking back. And it was right, there's no way that was, I mean, it was totally sunlight when we came up there. If I would have seen that, nobody noticed it on the way up. And when we come back, it's right in the trail, you know, on the way back. Go ahead.
No, as you said, there were, you know, what, 8 of us that went up, and we didn't go in a single file. We spread out across that trail going up. And it was only about 3 feet wide anyways. And so, as you said, there's no way it could have been there. And there wasn't anyone else that came to that crystal mound while we were on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was absolutely, you know, something that a porter or was created or was beamed in, however you want to put it.
Yeah, I think when we were beamed up, they probably, you know, left a little monument to just prove to us, give us some physical proof that, you know, that events happen there that are unexplainable and that, you know, that although we didn't see it, they left a monument there that with all those crystals stacked up that we, you know, we couldn't deny.
Absolutely. And putting that up on the site, people should really take a look at it, because if you look closely at it, you can see how perfectly stacked and balanced it is.
It's not like somebody ran up there and just slammed it together and then ran away, you know, and that we would have missed. And up here, we were the only ones there. And then there was another group, Michelle and her friend, she had two friends with her that came up, but they came up afterwards, after we were already done with all the ceremony, but they were the only ones there.
Well, and we were well down from the Crystal Mountain, but, you know, we were actually at Split Rock before we actually ran into them, which is a bit of a distance from the Crystal Mountain. So.
Exactly.
And then the other thing that I haven't had a chance to get an email back, but Daniel from the UK, you know, lovely, lovely being Daniel, he actually said that on his journeys after he left Palm Desert, he and Sherry went up and spent some time with her daughter, and then her daughter's boyfriend had an experience with the Andromedans that validated a lot of what we experienced. And I don't have the details on that yet, so we'll have to get Daniel to email that so you can share that with the community too, because that was a great little validation afterwards.
Yeah, I always love that when you get the outside, you know, validation you know, it was quite an event. It's quite a conference. I tried to get part of what some of the speakers were saying, but I was kind of confined to the booth a lot of the time, so I didn't really get to hear a lot of the speakers. I know most of them, but I think I'm going to grab some of the DVDs, you know, from the Star Knowledge Conference in Palm Springs and see, and you know, check out what they all say.
Yeah, it was a wonderful experience, and just that gathering of family, you know, I mean, that's the important thing with having that intent. So I have to ask you a question there. Were you calling on our friend Benai again today?
Yeah.
That was you.
I was working.
I didn't text you this time or call you, but I'm like, okay, I think he's at it again. He was at it until the flares are about to go off.
Yeah, that was funny. Last time, as soon as it came in, as soon as Benai came in and Cha, one of the feline beings, that was funny. I go, oh, Ashley's feeling this, and then you call, and the phone rings, and I go, it's Ashley. You know, and you're down in Phoenix, and we're up here in Washington. You know, it's funny how strong the telepathy is. You know, when everybody starts working together and get in sync.
That's very encouraging. So, how's Joseph doing? He's doing good. Do you want to say hi?
Yeah, I'd love to hear from Joseph.
Hey, James. This is Joseph.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good, very good. How about yourself?
Oh, good. How you doing after that recalibration on the Crystal Mountain?
Oh man, it's still integrating. Still integrating. Yeah, it's been an interesting journey. You know, just all the lights, all the things that were going on. You know, off in the distance and also coming close, and that looked like a vehicle that was coming at us. But
yeah,
it was coming across the valley, across the hills. I mean, you know, you can do it along with the hills, but this was actually coming across, and they would uh-huh. disappear, and they would reappear again. And so there was other craft in the area, just another side of the bombing range, you know, and it was just an amazing thing.
Yeah, all those huge flashes of light on the other mountain that we kept seeing, it looked like lightning out of nowhere. And I got a photograph of this. I don't know what it was, but it looked like a huge energy ball across there that was in the area of the flashing. And I know we saw that one ball of yellowish, I guess it almost looked like a flame, and it kept getting bigger and smaller and bigger.
Yeah.
And smaller. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and you know, around that time is when they did the the big drill between Canada, U.S., and Mexico, right, with the power outage drill.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I was pretty sure that they're going to pull the plug on something, and they actually did. There's a few communities that got hit, so uh-huh. there was that intent. But when we did the when the timeline got shifted, I knew everything was going to be okay. All the way up to then, it was a 50-50 thing with me. You know, we had talked about it. We had done this, you know, checking in.
Uh-huh.
And so I knew we were going to be okay, but I didn't feel okay until after we came back and changed that timeline. And so for me, it was a reality. We actually changed that timeline from taking place.
Yeah. You know, I felt completely recalibrated. And I know between Sedona and Palm Springs there, and the work we were doing with cleaning up a lot of the old reptilian Archon influence, I was pretty beat up. I've been hammered pretty good by these entities, and especially Sedona. I had some big run-ins there.
You're getting the PhD treatment. You know,
yeah.
You're getting like the doctorate, and it just kind of kept ramping up the powerful beings that kept coming, both physical and on the other dimensions. You know, they just kept throwing them at you, man. I mean, just so I was amazed. It was like you were holding a cyber shredder out there for them to just, you know, try come at it. You know, do your best, give it your best shot, and they just kept getting annihilated. That's just the best way I could put it.
Yeah. It was interesting what was happening there. But you know, after that, I knew I had to get on that Crystal Mountain. I kept being told, you got to get out there, you got to come back. You know, because I was there last year, or not last year, it was just a few months ago at Joshua Tree, and they told me, you got to get back. You need to do a ceremony here and release any spirits that need to go, and also, you know, stand on this Crystal Mountain. And I didn't know what I was supposed to do or anything. I just knew I had to do it. But boy, I felt afterwards, I just felt totally disconnected, you know, like in a good way, disconnected from any negativity, any hooks, any cords, you know, any implants, anything. I just felt completely recalibrated and really solid again, you know, and ready to go back and deal with what's necessary.
Yeah, well, you know, like more at peace, you know, with the world rather than all the turmoil and agitation and anxiety, you know, that sometimes you go through, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. It was just great, you know, and the timing, it was perfect. We were trying to get there early, but, you know, we just kept delay after delay. But when we got there, it was absolutely perfect timing.
Yeah.
And, you know, just everything that happened was definitely directed from up above somewhere.
Yeah, it was amazing. Well, I'm sure glad you were there to join in, and Ashley and Nathan
You know what? It was, we couldn't have done it without all of us being there. It was all the combined energies, you know?
It's funny how that was all orchestrated, that we all just came together, and I didn't know how it was going to happen, but it just happened, and we all came together, and the right car was there, everything, and we just did it, you know, made it happen. And
well, and the guys that just happened to drive, because we were kind of semi-lost there, and the guys just came right up, and we asked them, you know, and they said, oh, yeah, it's right back there. That's where all the UFOs are. Exactly the place.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, that was pretty fun.
So even, I mean, everything was like down to the last minute. Everything is so perfectly scripted. And even afterwards when we met the friends, and I remember when we got there, you said, man, I was sure we were supposed to clear all the entities that were here before, and there was none there. And then you didn't find out until a couple hours later after we came down the Crystal Mountain, which was entirely made of crystal, by the way. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. But after we came down, you know, your friends were there, and they had done the process before that, and that just made perfect sense. You know,
oh, yeah.
You got the verification afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, I was just ready to go, okay, I'll go take this on, you know, and so all of a sudden I go there and it's all clear and I go, thank God, that's one less thing I have to do. I was stoked on that one. And then I found out Michelle and her friends already did a bunch of ceremony there and did a lot of clearing and cleared the energy out. Yeah. So
all I can say is that's a great service, you know, to the planet, because there's just a lot of vortexes that hold all these, you know, energies, ancient and new, I guess, and modern. But, you know, mm-hmm. they just kind of twirl around and just like lost energies. So
yeah.
I feel that, you know, they were returned home wherever home is for them. So
a lot
of healing
nice.
Took place, you know, in those past few weeks before then.
Yeah, and, you know, it's always good to remind people that, you know, love is the ultimate power. You know, we're not taking axes and taking heads and things like that. We're just blasting them with the love of source, you know, through our own heart chakras, which, when you get it right, there's not too much that can stand in front of it, you know.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Was it Nathan that said, yes, we have, they're called love bullets.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I thought that was funny. Yeah. Kill them with love. Yep, yep.
Yep. It's that lion courage and love together. You know, it's amazing, you know, what you can do with it.
Yeah.
But, sure.
So I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the experiences there. That was just really, really amazing. It felt good. We did some service over there too. That was
yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. I can't thank you guys for being there too. I know, you know, at the places we're going to, having you and Ashley there, and Nathan, and just doing those clearings on a regular basis just took a huge weight off of my shoulders, you know, and I just think if everybody would start unifying and learning how to do these clearings, that, you know, we could turn this planet around real quick.
Yeah, and, you know, it wasn't just, I mean, it was even on the physical, too. People were being sent to disrupt. You know, I definitely felt the satellites, you know, what the, not the biotronic, what was the technical term for the weapons that they just aim at you? And,
psychotronics, you know,
Psychotronics, and people were going nuts. I mean, absolutely nuts. I mean, people that you think would be, you know, more quote unquote spiritual were actually, you know, way too much drama for stuff that shouldn't have even existed, you know? And so, you know, and people think, well, you know, negative influences, you know, it just might be one or two little entities. We're talking thousands. What was it? 9,000 in one clearing? And that was just one clearing. Thousands and thousands, and they just keep coming and coming and coming. It's like after you clean them up and you put protections around, they're always looking for a crack somewhere, you know, and that could be in someone's aura, right? You know, if they're drinking too much or taking drugs, and they slip in and they get a ride, and, you know, they're inside, and, you know, all kinds of ways that they do that. So they're just relentless. But,
and people start acting out,
home.
You know, those energies.
But, there's a lot of them packing, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up to the end of the hour, so I'll have to sign off. But, hey, thanks for calling in and giving your take on the experience there. And I always love to have other people talk about it. And so it doesn't sound like I'm up here just blowing smoke on what happened.
Yeah, for sure. And also say hi to Nate and Jenna for us, too, okay? Much love.
All right.
Big hugs.
See you soon. All right. It looks like we've got one more caller we can squeeze in here. We've got, looks like Celia on line 5, hopefully.
Yes. Hello.
Oh, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. So thank you for all the clearing work you guys are doing. Please keep it up. Now we are in the last minutes also of a very, very special day for all of us who know Sai Baba. Today is the anniversary of the second Sai Avatars, you know, who has left his body, you know, a couple of years ago. And so, you know, if you, anyways, just to say that's a special day. I find myself sort of startled, you know, because I was hearing you guys talking about the Andromedan contacts.
Yes.
And I don't know, like Alex Colley had said some years ago that the shift was happening at in December 2013, and Tolex says at beginning of January 2014. So it's a matter of days, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's other peoples in you know, South America and different parts with supposedly also Andromedan contacts and other versions. But in any case, I don't know. I seem to have a connection. You know, when some important announcement comes up with the Andromeda Council people, even if I'm kind of disconnected in at that particular period, I will just get the message and get the information. So I kind of, you know, I kind of trust this information. But at the same time, it's making me kind of like revolve ancient resentments I have about how, you know, the space people have used this sector of the universe, you know. And so, I don't know, I just feel like there are some things also that we know about in other parts of the world that maybe people here don't know about it. So I'm just going to very briefly go through that, you know.
Yeah, we're out of time, unfortunately, so we'll have to get you to call in again because I've got to sign off. But, you know, thanks for your call.
Okay, yeah, you can play the song you were going to play.
Yeah,
right?
I'm
going to
play it right now. So just go ahead and tune into this song and see if this opens up some doors for you, because people had major openings when we played the song. And they tuned into it. So I'm going to go ahead and hit this song, and then we'll be signing off with the song. So at the end of the song, we'll be gone. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Whoops, hang on again. We've got a little problem here. There we go.
Built your ancient temples. They came to right or wrong. Left our children to oversee a civilization at its dawn. Our children, they have fallen, forgotten noble virtue. They were left here to serve. Our seeds we left behind, like they, those who serve them, have fallen just as well. Yet now it is time to awaken. Divinity, stand and tall. Slaves were not yours, we were meant to walk as one. And now we have returned when all is said. tyrant's days are over. The separation, greed, and control. It is time to lead yourself from your own heart and soul. Come to awaken, heal and empower. It is written in your prophecies, the budding of the flower. Know that your divine is seated in the gods. Waters are pouring, love so sublime. All the children, those young and old, we are now returning as the prophecies have told. Gave those who serve them have fallen just as well. Yet now it is time to awaken. Divinity, standing tall. Divinity, standing tall. Divinity, mind the hearts for everlasting gold.
That was Outback Gypsies, and you can check that out at cdbaby.com.